There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 741, November 27th, 2017. Nasser?
Yeah, man, what a great, exciting race, and what a surprise we had. Mercedes stars shining bright in the Arabian night. Back to you, Mr. Clark Ben Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Kimmy says Abu Dhabi race was stinko. Will 2018 be the same old story? And do you like the new F1 logo? I, for one, do not. They should have contacted Keaton Designs in Canada, who could have provided them with a much nicer logo. And I want to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the support tab on the F1 Weekly front page. You know you'll want to. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. And let me say this thing about the logo. Funny thing, you mentioned Keaton Design. I was looking at it shortly before your call at the new F1 logo, and maybe it will, you know, grow on me. But the thing I said to myself was, it does not have the instant impact, certain impact that the F1 logo had when I first saw it. You know how impressed I was at first look?
Exactly, Nasser.
So I think, so now the F1 Weekly has a better logo than F1 logo, and F1 Weekly podcast has far outlasted the Renault F1 team podcast. So I think we're doing well.
Keep up the good work, Nas. I think we're doing just fine. I'll just send another check with some more zeros to you after the program.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, it's over. This freaking 2017 season is done. Fernando did not get one podium.
Well, just like you say, it's history, 2017 season. But based on LCH performance in Brazil and a Mercedes 1-2 in Abu Dhabi, chances are awfully good we will see more of the same in 2018. Sorry, Signor Arriva Bene and Maestro Marchione. But let's talk about the 2017 race. Wasn't this a great, exciting race with lights shining and cars going real fast?
I was very sleepy.
The air display was fantastic and the fireworks was very impressive. And, you know, it was, I think, the first motor race, at least a Grand Prix race, where I spent most of my time doing other things than watching the race. I mean, it was part of the reason why championship was decided. But even apart from that, Kimi Raikkonen called it like an endurance race.
Yeah, he spent most of his time saving fuel and not racing. There's very little racing anymore. We have to go to Le NASCAR.
Yeah. They have so much racing, they do it in segments now.
Exactly. So exciting. But no, and not only that, but it was the last episode for the NBC Sports Network crew, which means Steve Matchett and our friend David Hobbs and Lee Diffie and, of course, Will Buxton.
I think NBC Sports did a very good job, and I really enjoyed it. And looks like next year they will just air the Sky TV broadcast, which would be Martin Brundle and Ted Kravitz and all that, which is not a bad deal.
It saves you a lot of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, good for Bottas that he was able to convert his sport into win number 3 of the season. He also set the fastest lap. And I think I won't be off the mark if I say about Bottas that he's not bad for a number 2. Because if he was match and then some for his teammate all season long, I think Seb would have been celebrating his 5th championship. But it is good to finish the season on a high And we wish him all the best in 2018. He is one of the nice guys on the grid. What say you about Bottas throughout the season?
A great number two. I think he and Eddie Irvine and Rubinho, Felipe Massa, Heikki Kovalainen, which happened to be at the race last weekend. Interesting. But I predicted he was going to win this race. I just had a funny feeling that Bottas was going to win. They're going to make him feel good so he doesn't get too depressed.
Yeah, that's very true. And his lovely Olympian wife was also there, which was nice.
Yes, it's all a loving, beautiful thing.
Yeah, and talking of Lewis Hamilton, you know, once again, he has entered what Steve Mashey, or David Hobbs calls him, Steve Mashey, it calls rarefied air. He now joins Fangio and Schumacher as drivers who scored points in each and every race of a championship-winning season. Interestingly, Lewis has not won a race nor taken a pole in a season after clinching the title, but one has to keep in mind two of his four championships were won in the final race of the season. He has now scored, this is very impressive for him, he has now scored points in 25 consecutive races, two behind current leader in this respect, which would be Mr. Kimi Raikkonen. And LCH had a total of 9 wins and 4 second place finishes. I was looking at the Formula1.com website. Lewis was never third man on the podium this season.
I believe it.
So, which is interesting. How would you rate Lewis's season this season?
It's not that great. You know, I mean, there was some fight. I mean, it wasn't really a big fight against Ferrari. Ferrari just never put it together. And we saw that at Monza. When you fail at Monza, you fail.
Oh, yeah. That's where their back was broken.
Yeah. That was the day I saw the end of the entire season. I knew they made some strides. We saw a few steps forward, but let's face it, Mercedes just laughed a little bit and they turned the knob up to 10.
Yeah, whenever they needed to. You know, Seb looked really impressive over his teammate, but was nowhere near the Mercs. Third place finish in Abu Dhabi gave him 99 podium finishes in his career, and only 3 drivers have 100 plus podium finishes to their names: Schumacher, Hamilton, and Prost. And for the season, Seb had 13 podium finishes, including 5 wins. A great season opener for him and Ferrari in Albert Park. And I think his lead was 14 points going into the summer break, if I remember correctly. Mm. But in the second half, only win came in Sao Paulo. Hot-headedness in Baku and boneheadedness in Singapore sank his 5th symphony. In musical terms, second half was pathetic. And time will tell if 2018 for Ferrari and Seb will be ride of the Valkyries. I have a feeling that there is more in power mode and storage for Mercedes. What say you?
I agree. I think they didn't even unleash the entire thing where everybody is right on the edge of a kablamo. Mercedes still had their knob. It may have been a 10, but it actually goes up to 15.
Yeah, and you know what? Most probably, you know, it's a long season. Next year, it has not even started. But I think next year we're going to have another 5-time world champion. Now, wouldn't that be something amazing?
Not really. What would be amazing next year is if the Renault marriage with McLaren actually works and McLaren leapfrogs Ferrari and is in the hunt, not for Red October, but for Mercedes. So who knows? Will Fernando get the elusive podium that I have been crying for?
I think they will have a few podiums. I will not be surprised if Nando wins a race, to be honest with you.
Well, we've been waiting for that for a long, long time here at F1Weekly.com.
Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to win with powered by Trabant Turbo.
Thank you, Nasser. Keep up the good work. They're working very hard in Viry-Châtillon.
Yes, as Franz Tost would like to remind everybody how hard they're working. But man, if they think they have problem with Renault engine, wait till they get the Honda power next year. And if it's more of the same, boy, it's going to be a very, very slow boat to Yokohama.
In other words, Fernando should patent and copyright GP2 engine. Ah!
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit later. Now, let's talk a little bit about the quiet man and the quiet performer, Kimi Raikkonen. What can I say? No wins this season while his teammate fought for the championship. The only positive with him, Kimi, is that Seb will have one less headache in trying to win the championship in 2018. Kimi did appear on podium in 7 races, including 3 of the last 4. I am really, really surprised that with young talent like Charles Leclerc available, that even Antonio Giovinazzi, one of their own paisan, that Ferrari did not take them in place of Kimi.
It's hard to believe, but Kimi lives on. But we did get rid of Massa.
Yes, Massa, poor Felipe baby. But it looks like he may have a role with FIA as part of the Brazilian rep at FIA or some other. He's a very likable character, so I think we might see him doing something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's still managed by Nicola Tott.
That is true.
And where there's Tots, there's fire.
Yes. Now, Mad Max in the Autodrome. The percolated Dutchman was 5th behind the 2 Mercs and 2 Ferraris. Like Kimi, he called the race pretty boring and said, "If I had a pillow in the car, I could have fallen asleep." This guy is something. 7 DNS did not help in the points tally, but he did score 2 wins. Now signed to a long-term contract at Red Bull, the future is bright and very pushy, I'm sure, as 2018 rolls on in Albert Park in a few months. How would you rate Max's season, sir?
Oh, I thought Max was great. I mean, we needed some Max. If not, I would have been sleeping throughout the year.
Yes, and Ricciardo is the bull that has lost steam. DNF in Abu Dhabi, but looks like he's no longer the love child in Fushul Amzi, home of his employer. With talent like Leclerc and Lando on the horizon, it would be a good idea to sign that Ferrari contract as soon as possible for Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. You know, the thing is about, as we have seen with Grosjean and Hülkenberg, that you really need to latch on to a top team as soon as possible. And I think it will be good if Ricciardo. Now, that's another guy that Ferrari could have hired in place of Raikkonen, who for sure would have given them some wins and at least a good run for the money for Sebastian.
I know, but Sebastian doesn't, you know, Sebastian dictates who his co-driver is going to be. And I think Sebastian likes the coziness with Kimi. He's dependable. He's a good number two. Why throw that away?
Yeah, but I've heard Sebastian say in press conferences, which are available on YouTube, that he does not have a clause in his contract that says that he has a say in who the teammate will be.
That's true. And I don't have a clause in my contract that says that I love Fernando.
Oh, wow. So it's all natural.
Exactly.
It's without saying, huh?
Yeah. Bravo.
What happens at Ferrari, you know, there is some talk that Maurizio Arriva Bene may be given a promotion and somebody else come in his place. But we'll see what happens at Ferrari. I want to ask you about how would you rate Lance Stroll's season?
Started off not so great, but in the end, he proved himself, didn't he, for the young little whippersnapper?
Yeah, he did. And, what is even more important is that he did not make silly, stupid mistakes one after another.
Very, very true.
Yeah, which is expected from young drivers, you know.
Yep.
You know, which reminds me of Felipe Massa's early days at Sauber. I mean, he was very quick, but he was kind of, you know, all over.
Yep, especially in the rain.
Oh, yeah. According to him, he's a good driver in the rain.
Who?
Felipe Massa.
Yeah.
I mean, if you spin 5 times in a race, I don't know if you're a good driver in the rain.
Maybe not.
Oh, spinning wheel. Hate to say this, Mr. Rogers. The only excitement in the race was Renault boys messing up on the left front tire of Carlito. And someday somebody's going to block that pit lane by doing a DC. But Renault's day was saved by Nico Hülkenberg. His 6th place finish helped Renault finish 6th in the championship. So your Francais boys are in the top 6, so you must be elated.
Somewhat elated. We need to do better.
Yeah, I mean, at the final race, Alain Prost was looking very happy, and they're hiring a lot of people. And I'm sure glory days will come to them. I would love to see them have success so they stay in the sport for a long time, which is what we need all these companies to do.
They'll be back.
Yeah. You think they'll win a race with Hülkenberg next year?
Yep.
Pretty confident, huh?
Yep.
It's amazing the kid does not even have a podium at this time.
It is amazing, but, you know, even Nigel Mansell, you know, it took him a while to get up and running.
Well, I took Jensen Button, Mika Hakkinen, a lot of these people take their time.
Yep.
If you're not in the right package, man, it's very, very hard, no matter who you are.
As Fernando.
Oh, yes, the last 3 years.
Brutal.
Prior to Massa, Sands of Arabia have been kind to the man from Sao Paulo. On Sunday, he was 10th in his final F1 race, thus starting and finishing every Grand Prix at Yas Marina in the top 10. His near miss of the 2008 World Championship and the grace he displays after the race will not be forgotten by race fans around the world. His career comes to an end after 269 races, 6th on the all-time list. And if you stay in Formula One so long, obviously you're very quick. The record shows 11 Grand Prix wins. First was in 2006 at the Turkish Grand Prix from pole position ahead of Alonso and Schumacher. And I remember when he was teammate to Schumacher in 2006, he did a very good job against Schumacher.
He did.
You remember some of his races from that season, right?
No, absolutely. But I usually remember Fernando's races in 2006, which were outstanding.
Oh, yeah. And so were some of the races in 2000. His victory in Monza, I was at that race in 2007 as a McLaren driver, was very bad. He won that, to borrow a phrase from, I think, Mr. Marv Albert, with authority.
Indeed.
And talking of Nando, this is how it encapsulated for him for this season. The end of Trabant Turbo era, the start of Toyota WEC era, start of Daytona 24 Hours and back to Renault. Only thing missing is Flavio. The lack of power and reliability from Honda was made up by the beach chair at Interlagos, the GP2 engine that you mentioned at Suzuka, and my personal favorite, Karma at Monza, when he was told Julian Palmer had retired from the Italian Grand Prix. Actually, I watched that video a few times before you came on the digital airwaves.
Inspiring, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very funny, I have to say. Nando and Stoffel ran down next year. How do you think it will work out there?
Oh, he'll be out qualifying Stoffel Van Dorn all day long.
Yeah, you know, once they have a competitive package, Stoffel Van Dorn will have to really, you know, stick it to Nando. Otherwise, he will be replaced by Lando Norris.
Yeah, I guess Lando Norris is there. So,
any thoughts on the season? Anything stands out for you?
No, I like the banging wheels. I thought Baku and Singapore was exciting. But really, in the end, I predicted Lewis Hamilton would win. He won. It's over. Let's move on.
Yep.
And we have Dakar coming up. We got all sorts of good stuff coming up that's going to take my mind off this entire season.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso will be at Daytona. You know, there's a thing called Roar Before the 24, which will be in the first few weeks of January. And will you please send in a request for media pass for me?
I'll do the best I can. We've had a lot of problems with the website, but finally, everything is done. So I couldn't do anything until the website was stable and back in top-tip working condition.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, Daytona is at the end of January. So a lot of people will be there. You know, Lando Norris will be there. Robin Frings will be there. Eduardo Mortara. A lot of people. And I'm hoping to get I'm going to take a day or two off, camp out there for a couple of days. Then, you know, get like 20, 25 interviews, hopefully. So we can have an interview every podcast we do all season long.
That's a good idea. These people want meat and potatoes, Nasser.
Yes, sir. And we provide the gravy on the side anyway.
Exactly. That's free. So why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back with the glorious and wonderful Motorsports Mondial.
Are you in business and want to make a hard-hitting visual impact that gets your name and message promoted? F1 Weekly knows from experience that the creative team of Caton Designs are graphic design geniuses and a company that can give your brand a visual pop in a cost-effective way. Contact Caton Designs at ketondesigns.com for visual messaging solutions that get your business image seen.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir. We're going to start with the very happy and pleased to mention that thanks to Toby on the F1 Weekly website, the new calendar is available. Its theme is The Art of Racing, a tribute to great Grand Prix designers. We have a beautiful picture of Tony Brooks's Ferrari from the late 50s on cover. And as you can imagine, all the big names are there, like Mr. Man from Red Bull, Adrian Newey, Gordon Murray, Mauro Forghieri, who designed the Ferraris that Niki Lauda drove to championship success, and also Jiří Šechter. And one guy, you know, I've always liked the design of Cooper cars from the late 50s and 60s. And they were designed by a guy by the name of Owen Maddock. So I did a lot of research on all these designers. So there's a lot of information available in the captions. Some very nice photographs and famous drivers. So if anybody's interested, please click on the merchandise page. And as Steve Fobb used to say, you know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Nas. And, of course, this is a great way to contribute and help F1Weekly.com. Server space is expensive. Toby is expensive. Nasser is expensive. I'm expensive. So keep F1Weekly.com up and running by buying a calendar or for this holiday season. Okay, Nas, let's get to the business of ration.
Ration. Okay, Formula 2, well, previously known as GP2, rookie champion Charles Leclerc won the final race of the season in dramatic fashion by grabbing the lead on the final lap. Next destination for him is most likely F1 with Sauber. And talking of Sauber, there are a lot of reports coming out that the Ferrari engine will be badged as Alfa Romeo. So Sauber, Alfa Romeo, and I just love that logo, as I've said so many times. I would love to see that name back in motor racing. What say you, Senor?
Yeah, I'd love to see it with a little F1 Weekly logo right next to it.
Oh, very true. And also, you know, talking of Ferrari, Michael Schumacher's 2001 Monaco winner sells for $7 million at the Sotheby's in New York City when they were expecting $4 million. Are you the mysterious buyer, sir?
I am indeed. I am indeed. Those calendar sales are going to help pay that credit card bill.
There you go. Yeah, it's amazing how some expenses some of these cars go for. I wonder how much his 1991 Jordan,
excuse me, of course.
The one in which he made his debut, or the one he won, but the race victory was in the Benetton, right, in the 1992 race.
Mm.
Those cars will fetch a lot of money. Now we come to Macau Grand Prix, talking about going to the other side of the world. I don't know if you've seen this, an incredible finish to the race, which was 2 weeks ago, and the last lap has to be seen to be believed. Race leader for a long time, Sergio Sete Câmara of Brazil, was passed by Austrian driver Ferdinand Habsburg, and he's a descendant of the Habsburg dynasty, whichever word you want to use, going into the final turn of the final lap, and then both hit the wall coming out of that final corner within sight of the checkered flag. Did you watch any of this action, sir?
I did, sir.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it.
I was watching live on the web, and I just could not believe how the last few laps was just like Ayrton Senna and Nigel Mansell in Monte Carlo many years. And the guy who won, Daniel Ticktum, he's a young Red Bull driver. He drove a very good race, and the pass he made late in the race to pass Lando Norris and another driver, he passed two drivers going into a fast right-hander on a street circuit. I mean, that's one of the best passes I've seen in a long, long time. It was as machismo as Mansell's pass on Gerhard Berger in Mexico City. So Daniel Ticktum was the winner. Congratulations to him. And just a brief background on this kid. You know what happened some years ago? He came into the series, which is now called Formula 4 in England. Then it was known as Formula MSA. And in his first year of motor racing, he was very quick. He was leading the championship at one stage. But in one of the races, he did a really, really super boneheaded move. He got involved in a tangle with another driver, Ricky Collard, I believe it was. And then late in the race, under a yellow, he passes like 7, 8, 9 cars and crashes hard into that guy. And he was kicked out of his... He was suspended for 2 years, but the second year was like probation. So he missed out on racing for one season and was lucky that Dr. Marco, you know, kept him on board. But winning this race has really, really made his stock go very high. And I hope this thing leads to bigger and better things for him. Okay, Mortara, Mr. Macau, the Swiss racer, has won the Macau F3 Grand Prix twice and now has won two times in 10 tops. Four wins in Macau is very, very impressive, and we shall see him in action at Daytona in the 24-hour race in January. And, you know, on a very sad note, these things are always, it really sucks when that happens, but it's unfortunately part of the racing, and once in a while it happens. A British rider by the name of Daniel Haggerty was killed during the motorcycle race there. And, I mean, racing at Macau and Isle of Man, I just cannot believe that people would do that. It's so, so dangerous. But and this particular race was, of course, canceled, and he had a very bad accident. Of course, he had no chance of surviving. So our condolences to his family, Daniel Haggerty, losing his life at Macau. And so you're pretty familiar with what used to be World Series by Renault, the V8 Series?
Yeah.
Okay, no Mass for Formula V8 Series, previously known as World Series by Renault. The promoter, none other than Pepito of ex-F1 driver Jaime Alguersuari. The series lost momentum after Renault dropped their support a few years ago, and this year was the last year. Some of the graduates of this series include Sebastian Vettel, Robert Kubica, Kevin Magnussen, and Stoffel Van Dorn. And talking of Kubica, do you think he will be at Williams next year?
It's looking that way, but who knows?
Yeah, and they're also saying this Russian kid, Sergei Sorotkin, you know, he has a lot of money behind him. Maybe he will be there. But let's see what happens. Okay, now, all rise as we come to the Jacoby and Meyer segment. Kevin Magnussen will be heading to court next January. Earlier this year, we reported that the Haas drivers ousted former manager Torte Rees-Madsen is suing Magnussen for current and future earnings. Since then, the two sides have been discussing a settlement, but the Danish newspaper BT reports that talks broke down. That's right, I can confirm that, Dorte Rees-Madsen lawyer told the newspaper, which reported that a trial has been scheduled for 3 days in January. Sounds like the tax trial of Elio Castroneves in this country some years ago. This lady is claiming 20% of all of the 25-year-old's earning dated between September 2015 until June 2021. When their management contract was set to expire. And we will see how it goes. This is not the first time something like this happened. Do you remember when there was a lawsuit between Paul Di Resta and Anthony Hamilton?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that got pretty ugly, and a lot of filth came out from both sides, and which just makes you wonder, you know, you really need to know who you're dealing with.
Yep, boy. And remember the pianist who got in trouble in a bar with some sharp champagne glasses?
Oh, yeah. Who used to be LCH's best buddy?
Exactly. Holding hands and skipping down the sidewalk.
Yeah, that was something. Whatever happened to him, he has totally disappeared, huh?
Completely. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. At one time, he was, like, I think, affiliated with the Williams team as a reserve driver or something. Do you remember his name?
Nobody does.
I was thinking it. Adrian Sutil.
It is indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I had to think about it, but we wish them all the best, you know. Okay, so we haven't done a goodie bag in a while, and I think we're going to bring this tradition back.
Good for you, Ness.
So this one is called Goodie Bag Famous Finales, okay? Obviously, there was some excitement last year, not this year for sure. So we're going to look at a few races that were very exciting and famous in the annals of motor racing because of title was decided in the final race. This is something that will never, ever happen now. 1956 Monza. You know, in the old days, if your car broke down, you can take over your teammate's car. You're familiar with that phenomenon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Indy 500 used to be part of the Formula One World Championship. Anyway, in 1956, Peter Collins handed over his car and championship chances to his Ferrari teammate Fangio, who had retired from the race earlier. Fangio was able to finish second behind Stirling Moss, and half points earned for sharing second place with Collins allowed the Argentine legend to take his fourth title. And yeah, I got to tell you something. Some years ago, I was at the Autosport show in Birmingham, England, and I had taken a bus to London town. And at one stage, it was making a turn, and there were all these signs for different towns, you know. And there was a sign for a town called Kidderminster. And I got serious frisson, as you call them, goosebumps, because that was Peter Collins' hometown. And it was on my mind what he did at Monza for Fangio that got, you know, got me thinking about him when I saw that sign. So hopefully, you know, one day Mr. Brazier and I, we will go and have a cup of proper English tea in his memory. 1958, Casablanca, Morocco. Mike Hawthorn becomes first British world champion with a little help from his friend from California. Phil Hill allowed Hawthorn to pass him for second, which was all he needed to beat race winner Stirling Moss to the championship. And Bernie lost a driver in that race. There was a driver by the name of Stuart Lewis Evans. His car caught fire following a ruptured fuel line or something like that. And he was burned fairly badly, and he was flown to England, and then he died some days later. And Bernie Ecclestone was his manager. So this guy has been around, you know, since the dawn of motor racing, or Grand Prix racing, I should say. Now we come to a place not too far from me, less than 2 hours, 1959, Sebring, Florida, US of A. Bruce McLaren, this was, of course, the first ever Formula One race in this country. Bruce McLaren becomes youngest race winner, while Jack Brabham does a little push and shove to become the first Aussie world champion. Have you ever seen a picture of Jack Brabham pushing his car?
Yeah.
Kind of Mansell at Dallas?
Yep. Good old Blackjack.
Yes, sir. Very interesting. Yeah, I was very happy. You know, when I was still living in Cali, I took a trip to Sebring some years ago. Now it's become an annual tradition. I really enjoy going to this place. So much history there. Okay, now we come to Monza, 1961, triumph and tragedy for Ferrari, plus Grand Prix debut from front row for young Ricardo Rodriguez. Hill wins the race and the championship, while teammate and challenger Wolfgang von Trips was killed, along with 14 spectators, after colliding with Lotus of a young and upcoming Scottish driver by the name of Jim Clark. And you know, if you go to the Wolfgang von Trips Museum in Germany, in a town called Horim, which is very near to Kirkwin, which is Michael Schumacher's hometown, they have a old radio from that era, and you turn it on, and they played the German recording, how the race was covered by the German radio at that time, including the accident. It's quite a strange feeling to listen to that. Okay, sir, 1962, East London, South Africa. Monday morning coffee was good to the last drop for Graham Hill, as he won his first world championship after pole man and race leader Jim Clark retired his Lotus with an oil leak. Jimmy had to win the race to take the title, but he had to wait another year to take his first world championship. Graham won the race in his BRM ahead of Bruce McLaren in a Cupra. 1964, Mexico, another Ferrari world champion with a little help from his friend. Clark was two laps from defending his world championship when his engine went kablamo. Dan Gurney from Newport Beach, California, took the lead, and Graham Hill set to become champion again. Then Ferrari team signaled second. This is all basically on the last lap. Ferrari team signaled second placeman Lorenzo Bandini to slow down so John Surtees could take second and the world title. And thus John Surtees, 64, became the only driver to win in Formula One and also, you know, motorcycle racing. And poor Lorenzo Bandini, 3 years later, he would perish in a very fiery accident in Monte Carlo in his Ferrari. So that was a very sad day in 67. Now, there are some other races that have been very, very famous. The Fuji Epic Battle, 1976. So much has been said, even a movie has been made, so I won't mention that. Then also the Estoril 1984 Portuguese Grand Prix. Alain Prost won the race, but Niki Lauda, who had spun earlier in the race, he came back to finish second and beat champion and won the championship by half a point. And then, of course, Adelaide 1986, Dunn blowed up in the closing stages, Rod Mansell of World Championship. And surprise race and championship winner was Alain Prost. And you know, Nigel Mansell was at some function some years ago, and there was the clerk of the course or some head honcho of the Adelaide Grand Prix who was there in 1986. And he told Mansell his crash, which was pretty heavy and late in the race, he said, had he just stopped the car or had the car stopped on the track, they would have stopped the race, and with more than half the distance done, you know, he would have been a world champion. But since he kept going and took the escape route, there was no need to cancel the race or stop the race. So, Mansell, you know, it's hard for this bloke to get a break.
Hülkenberg is, he's sort of a chump like that, too.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, we will never know how good he is. And also Romain Grosjean, unless, it's one of those things, you know, be careful what you wish for just might come true. I mean, look at Bottas at Mercedes, and it could be quite a tall order for Stoffel Vendôme to dethrone Fernando Alonso, even though Alonso has been there now for many, many years in Formula One. But we'll see how it goes. And of course, there was this Suzuka double, Senna crashing into Prost, Prost, you know, not giving him room, and these things happen. But these are some of the famous finales that I thought I wanted to share with our listeners. And now we come to my favorite segment, Famous Last Words. And this is our wonderful Flavio Briatore on Lewis winning his fourth championship. Normally, Flavio talks about Nando, just like Mark Webber and Jacques Villeneuve talk about anybody and everybody. So this is Flavio on Lewis, and I quote, "This year he was more motivated on the track than in the disco," end of quote.
Bravo, Fisico.
Yeah, Fisico. Well, Fisico will be at Daytona too. Maybe we'll say hello to him again.
Yes, that's a good idea. That interview with Fisico was bravo, bravo, bravo.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So what else is happening, Mr. Rogers, on the left coast?
Nothing. I just want to mention once again the 2018 calendar, Motorsports Memories, The Art of Racing, is now available right here on the F1 Weekly front page. Just click on the merchandise tab on the left and it'll bring it right up. Scroll down. It's really easy and it says $15.95 shipping and handling. And you just click add to cart and that takes you to PayPal where you pay and you could, of course, change the quantity from one to as many as you possibly want, which is a lot. And there you have it. So a really simple, easy way to please your loved ones on Christmas.
So what's the agenda for the 2018 for F1 Weekly?
The agenda is to, improve quality. Let's hope that Fernando gets his third championship.
Yeah, you know, it's about Fernando. All roads lead to Rome and to Oviedo. I was thinking, you know, maybe I can get a few minutes of time with him at Daytona. But, you know, he's going to be besieged by media from all over the world.
He will be, but he's going to want to talk to F1 Weekly, trust me.
Yeah, we tell him we support his escapades like GP2.
Ah! That's how you give his attention. Just mention my name, you'll be fine.
Oh, wouldn't it be something if Julian Palmer is also racing at Daytona?
What about karma?
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But I'm really looking forward. You know, I'll be going to Daytona, Sebring, and the IndyCar opener here in March. So a lot of work, a lot of preparation, and we'll see what we can do.
Fantastic, Mass. Outstanding. I'm looking forward to all those interviews we're going to get for the listeners. And, of course, this podcast will continue, even though the season's over. We're going to be doing a season review. We'll be doing an expose about Fernando's life on the fast lane and in the discotheques.
There you go.
So, another great season. Everybody relax. 2018 will be here so fast. You know, that's why let's not rush things. And we'll see. I say, you know, Fernando wins in Albert Park with the Renault package.
I would like to see Daniel Ricciardo get a home win. That'll be very nice.
Not me, but I'm very, you know, I'm just not ready for that.
Well, he's got Renault power or Tag Heuer.
We'll see what happens. Renault really needs to kick it up next year. And for me, I'll be rooting for Renault and McLaren.
Is that your new favorite team?
Renault or McLaren?
McLaren.
They're not my favorite team. Renault is going to be my favorite team, but I will be rooting for the Renault package in the McLaren for sure. I mean, that's a big deal. McLaren powered by Renault.
I just cannot believe what a waste of 3 years of Fernando Alonso's racing life. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. But don't forget, the other thing is what comes around goes around. In 2018, McLaren will be the one to watch. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's a difference between one to watch and one to win.
Bravo. I understand. I'll text Heikki Kovalainen on that one.
Yeah, your thoughts on Miss Danica Patrick announcing her retirement?
She retired years ago, but nobody told her to stop driving.
Yeah, she's going to do two races, you know, the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500, and that's it.
Why doesn't she just test for Sauber? I think she should drive for Sauber.
Yeah, you know, do you remember when Carmen Jordá, this young Spanish lady, signed with Lotus as a development driver?
I do.
One of her ex-teammates from GP3 days wrote on his Twitter that Carmen Jordá cannot develop a roll of film, let alone a Formula One car.
Wow.
It's a wild, wild world out there, you know.
It is wild, but we'll miss Danica.
Yeah.
But Fernando will be there at the Indy 500?
No, he's not racing at Indy. He's racing at Monaco.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to miss Indy next year.
Oh, that's too bad. I was all excited.
But he's be driving for a Toyota in the World Endurance Championship.
I'm excited for him.
Apparently, he's doing all the races with Toyota that are not clashing with Formula One.
Yeah, wow. I think he's turning Japanese. I really think so.
Me too.
Well, there you have it, Nass. I'm going to end this before the horse leaves the building.
Okay, yeah. Keep the prancing horse inside. Thank you, sir. Have a good holiday and all the best to everybody.
Thank you, Nasser. I want to thank all the listeners who listen, and I really want to thank all the listeners who buy a calendar. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Memory of sentimental verse, nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
I wonder if we did the right thing. Oh, well, that's life, I guess.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
Thanks for the memory of faults that you forgave, rainbows on a wave,
and stockings in the basin when a fellow needs a shave. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the memory of tinkling temple bells, alma mater yells,
and Cuban rum and towels from the very best hotels.
It was. Thanks for the memory of cushions on the floor, hashed with Diddy Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore.
Say, by the way, whatever became of those pajamas?
Huh?
Huh?
We said goodbye with a highball.
Then I got as high as a steeple.
Did you?
But we were intelligent people.
No tears, no fuss.
Hooray for us.
Strictly entrenou, darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you.
Cheerio and toodaloo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.